Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I have an observation about coffee and iced tea that may change the way you think about the world. Also, we'll do a Baldywood. I think we're going to do Birds of Prey. Is that the one we're doing?
The Suicide Squad.
Oh, the Suicide Squad. Yeah, Birds of Prey was the earlier Suicide Squad one. Anyway, we'll do all that. Then we'll take some phone calls as well. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. And then there is your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working? Take your automotive policy and you bundle it up with your homeowners or your renter's insurance. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. It'll save a lot of time, save a lot of money. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you go to geico.com and get your bundle on.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Siobhan Fallon Hogan. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a review of Suicide Squad in Hooray for Baldywood. And now, FDA approved for non-emergency use, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, we're getting our mandate. You get it on now. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Ooh, I want some of this.
All right. Well, we got lots to cover in today's show. Thanks for listening. And it's fun. You talked to a lot of people, see them at the track, see them at the barbecue, and God bless you.
I think, like Gina alluded to, for the last, I don't know, you've been on the road, obviously, but for the last couple of years or year and a half for us, it's been doing the show into the void. You know what I mean? Like, we hope there's other ears on the end of these microphones, but seeing them at the barbecue, for example,
it's awesome.
That was nice.
Well, I shall be grateful for those and you. And I also like the high percentage of people that are like attorneys and pilots and air traffic controllers and like substantial real jobs.
Earners.
That's right. Rowers in this Viking ship we call life. So thank you, and I'm grateful for that. All right, so we need ball pullers for this weekend in Minneapolis, so we can get to those as well. You can email us questions at adamcarolla.com. Have a vid, which is couple vids. We have a nice uninterrupted vid of the offspring.
You just said a vid three times.
Vid.
I don't like this. Video.
This is real excited
up.
About his vid.
Video. Fro yo. So I always kind of talk about society, where we're going, watch the commercials, learn everything you need to learn through the commercials, and see a lot of. I went online to look at a furniture company, sofa company, and I landed on their homepage, and there was a mixed gay couple just enjoying their sofa together on the homepage. And that's probably something you would have been confused by, because you'd be like, who are these roommates? The black guy and the white guy, like, what are they doing sure. together on this? So like, you can see the trends, but I noticed a trend in a pet food commercial as well. Now we talk about
mixed breed boyfriends.
We talk about humans, but I noticed this thing in the pet food department. And the reason I noticed it in the pet food department, which is somewhere at the end of the 15-second commercial, I'll tell you what I kind of tapped into, which is it's a commercial about, you know, they show a bunch of dogs and they're going to give them good food instead of bad food. But it's really the end. that really got to me. It's not going to pop big, but when we break down the game film, I think you'll see where we're going as a society.
Hey, fellas, we've got to talk. Ooh. It's about your food. It has spray-on flavor and powdered meat. It's time for fresh food that belongs in the fridge next to our food. Now, who's hungry? Fresh Pet.
Right. All right. So, growing up, saying that dog food belongs in the fridge next to our food.
It was dog food was the metaphor for like bad, like expired food, bad food, terrible food.
Right.
Dog food.
Or if the lady in the subsidized housing really hit the skids, she was going to have to eat dog food. Right. But it wasn't. You know, the refrigerated fresh food part was fine. It was the part where they said next to our food. And they show a big gaping bowl of cherries, which is not exactly a Tupperware full of cherries with the lid snapped on tight. It's our food. And so it's this interesting bridging of, you know, it started with dogs not sleeping outdoors and sleeping indoors. And then it came to them sleeping on the bed. Right. And now it's like the food is next to our food in the refrigerator. And I just thought that's something I wouldn't have seen growing up. It would have been confusing to say we put the dog food next to your food in the fridge. First off, it would have grossed everyone out.
Oh, that's the flood. That's the first act of a sitcom. You know, dog food gets put in the fridge next to your food.
Right. And then the older sister would be like, JJ, what are you thinking? I don't know. I wanted to refrigerate right next to
the milk?
My lasagna and the milk. Yeah, it would have been a sitcom trope. But
can I say that I proudly hold on to that because there is nothing more vile on this earth than wet cat food, and it's always been the bane of my existence. I have a very, very sensitive gag reflex, gentlemen. And whenever there's been wet cat food in
that
the fridge—
That just means anal to every
that's
guy
right. That's
listening.
Right. Whenever I have to put it in like the crisper by itself, like I can't stand the idea of animal food in the fridge.
Well, when I was growing up, we had some cats, and the cat food was this gelatinous tin thing that you had to pick.
That's what I'm talking about.
You had to pick. You couldn't avoid it. It was a can that was like tuna size. And you'd have to take your fingernail and pick the lid off, and it was a gelatinous mess at the top of weird hooves and snouts and all that kind of stuff.
Never having owned a cat, I can ask the two previous cat owners here, do all cat foods come in that like pop-top tin?
There's kibble. There's like dry cat food.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know if there was such a thing. All I see is Fancy Feast or whatever the fuck
it is. It smells worse than you can imagine.
Okay.
All right. And then I said to Chris, you know, what were the dog food commercial I remember growing up was, I think, Chuck Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
And it not
ring the bell or something.
Yeah. And they run through the kitchen.
But not only was it, I didn't have a dog, but this was another form of entertainment for me. Something was moving on the screen. So I told Chris, pull that up. It's a dog sleeping in front of the TV set.
That's the TV set I remember.
And the Chuck Wagon jumps out of the screen.
That's some good
and
CGI.
goes
stop
across
motion.
For me, I was like, oh my God, look, there's movement, there's a dog, there's a Chuck Wagon, but the dog
there's special effects.
Those are state of the art, man.
Doesn't get his Chuck Wagon. Those dogs love the soft meat-like chunks, the
meat-like
bits. The rich broth Chuck Wagon makes when you add warm water.
Oh.
Serve your dog Chuck Wagon.
The dog.
Chances are he's already waiting for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Not put it in the fridge next to your shit.
Never.
But that's where we're at. And speaking of food, I had this revelation I'd been sitting on. You guys know, here's a global thought that I'll distill down to drinks.
Okay.
All right. So as I've said for many years, iced tea is iced tea. It is a flavor. There's no need to change the flavor of iced tea because iced tea is an iced tea flavor. When I was with Sean and Jose at the other shop a few weeks ago, and they were burning the midnight oil trying to get the car put back together for Laguna Seca, I, as a kindly boss, said, would you like some caffeine in your system? Like, I'll go make a Starbucks run at 6
Spike
at
up,
night.
Gentlemen.
See if I can get something coursing through your veins. Yeah. And then Sean, who's old school, said, well, I'd like an iced tea, but none of the flavored bullshit. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. I like iced tea, too. I don't know what offerings Starbucks has. So it's a sort of a black tea, unsweetened. But they don't just have iced fucking
pea-berry matcha.
Yeah, they have all the different flavors under the sun. And then I started thinking about this.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I don't drink tea. I don't like it, iced or otherwise. Is black tea not iced tea? I'm ignorant on this.
When you ask for an iced tea, they'll often ask you black or green.
Oh.
So I want black iced tea.
Yeah, although growing up, I'm trying to think if it was black tea or
I think
it was just tea.
Wait.
But I don't know what it. I don't know what the difference
is. Because I feel like growing up
before.
You don't
like regular iced tea?
What? No, I don't.
Like
why
Lipton.
Not?
I don't like the flavor. There are things in this world that I completely acknowledge. Hey, man, I'm one of the few people who doesn't like this thing. I don't like tea. I don't like green tea. I don't like grapefruit. I hate grapefruit. It's astringent.
Nobody really likes black.
Yeah,
likes
grapefruit is a flavor in something is okay, but it's just kind of all right.
He doesn't like pamplemousse.
Yeah, don't like it. But I'm acknowledging. I'm like, why does everyone hate grapefruit? No, I'm the only
iced
one.
Iced tea with a nice wedge of lemon if you're looking for a calorie. So if you're looking for, I would like some caffeine. Uh-huh. I don't want any calories. It's hot outside.
Oh.
That's a good alternative to whatever else you're thinking
That's
about.
My
but it
favorite.
Hits the spot.
And my mom, I'm sure your mom did the same. My mom always made sun tea. So you take a big glass jar and then you put it in. You leave it outside all day in the summer.
Yeah.
You get this gorgeous sun tea. You know how I usually try to look things up on the fly being, you know, the de facto news person? I made a huge mistake in Googling, is iced tea black? Because I got
the
rapper iced tea. Iced tea's
right.
Full story.
You got the rapper.
Sorry about that.
The actor. All right. So
sorry. Back to the iced tea.
So the iced tea has been taken over by passion fruit, all the different flavors. But I also started to think about this, which is iced tea, unsweetened iced tea, is kind of the adult drink. Kids don't really like it because it's not sweet.
Like
it
a bit of a bitterness.
Yeah, it just tastes like tea, you know, anything
over ice,
anything
sure.
under anything non-sweetened for kids kind of sucks. But then I realized as I opened the fridge in our Airbnb, we had coffee. I brought good coffee because that's the whole thing. I like the good coffee. We brought Vinny's coffee. We had coffee. But when I opened the fridge the next day, they had these offerings. They had almond milk, oat milk. And then two types of same flavor, but two separate containers of French vanilla. Now there was there's no milk and there's no cream. So now what we did to kind of iced tea, we're doing to coffee. We're bringing it over and we're taking an adult drink, which is either tea or coffee, black or with cream or whatever, lemon, whatever you have it, unsweetened. And we're bringing it into this realm of the adult, but
yummifying.
Are we doing it for the kids? I don't think so. We're doing it for the adults who remain in adolescence.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So that's where we're going, and it's stunting the growth of our collective nation.
You're absolutely right, because, and I think we can blame Starbucks for this, because when I was growing up, and Brian probably the same, you know, if like kids in high school.
A few years before. But yeah,
exactly. Okay. You get it. If kids in high school were coffee drinkers, it was like.
No.
Black or like cream or whatever, because there was no such thing as like a triple caramel venti. That didn't exist.
Yeah, I feel like, Gina, I'm much older than you, but I feel like I lived through that Starbucks burst of the late 90s where when I was in high school, no one fucking drank coffee.
Right.
And when I got to college, everyone drank coffee. And, and to your point where you blame Starbucks, the Frappuccino or the ice blended.
Never heard of it.
That was the slippery slope where it's like, oh, this coffee is delicious. Yeah, it's a fucking milkshake.
Adam, if you were in high school and like the guy from like the, you know, art class would have drank coffee, he was cool. Because he was drinking like black coffee. There wasn't anything with a dome on top and whipped cream. That didn't exist.
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting. It's sort of the version of the candied cigarettes. It's like if you'd like to get 14-year-olds to do what 26-year-olds do, put some sugar in it and get them into the tent and indoctrinated. By the way, you can slowly just make yourself hugely fat on all that stuff that tastes good. But
and don't forget like blueberry vape juice and stuff like that you can't do anymore.
So anyway, I just thought the two French vanilla offerings and the oat and the I don't even know again the oat and almond. I don't know what happened to milk. I'm fine. I put a little piece of pad of butter in the top of my coffee.
Oh, you did bullet coffee.
Called it a life. Yes. All right. Nice. Yes.
I said nice.
Yeah. Max Badge, you take note of the two French vanillas that were there?
Let me guess. Yeah. Jugs of Coffee Mate?
They were Trader Joe's, but they were the same.
The jug.
Same deal. Like yeah. Water and corn syrup and all that kind of stuff.
You didn't want to try the oat milk or anything?
I may have liquid put a little carbs, at right? a certain point. First off, I don't know what's good and what's bad. The oat and the almond and all that kind of
stuff.
Can
I answer on behalf of Vinny? Because I just talked to him about this. It's essentially the starch from any of those things, the starch from rice, the starch from oats mixed with water. So it has a milky color, but they should not be able to call it milk because that is very misleading.
All right. So we have, I guess, Chris got a clean video, 50-second vid of the Offspring.
Oh, good.
Doing the Kids Are All Right.
Yeah, this is my favorite Offspring song, but they did their own version because they had the acoustic guitar. So it's a little bit of a different arrangement.
Okay. This is all three with the acoustic and drummers. All right. Here we go. Acoustic Offspring.
Can I just tell you, I've been here, what, almost 7 years. We've gotten a lot of one sheets, a lot of bios before a guest, and they all go in one ear and out the other when we're done with that day. I will never forget the bio we got on Dexter and the bio we got on Noodles when they came in together. And Dexter's was a page and a half of molecular biologist, owns and operates play. It went on and on and on. And the only thing on Noodles was like, got stabbed by a skinhead and fell off the stage at a concert one time.
Yeah, a lot of contrast in band members.
So much.
That's funny. I was talking to Drew about it, and he said, I was talking to Dexter about like therapeutics and what's coming up
mRNA.
And all this kind of stuff. And he's like, yeah, he understood everything because that's his background.
That's what he did his thesis on or whatever.
Smart dude.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show there's time in a life to do plenty if you'd like to carve something out. All right. We have another thing I wanted to get to. So when we are when we're at the Airbnb at Pebble Beach, I force everyone to watch bad movies. Here it is. I got my list.
2012 was
time to sit down and watch 2012. Sure. So we watched 2012, and then the next night, I said we're watching Schwarzenegger's Raw Deal.
Oh boy!
What's that?
I was excited when he said Schwarzenegger, but then he said Raw Deal.
I've never heard of that.
We had to take a deep dive into the '80s Raw Deal. Couldn't make it.
Is he some sort of robot?
He got a Raw Deal.
He's a Chicago cop
with a thick Austrian accent,
right? That ended up working in some sort of rural Alabama, but got called back to break up the syndicate. You know.
And, is it a screwball comedy?
No, it's one of the more disposable movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It really is.
You guys got a Raw Deal.
It's also when the cop would want to infiltrate the mob, all they had to do is put some pomade in and comb their hair back, and all of a sudden there were mobsters. By the way you wore your hair.
Footnote to all that, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who starred in Raw Deal and a number of middling movies in that era, with the accent and the muscles and the gap tooth, became the biggest action star in the world.
Yeah.
I know. So who can say...
He became an international superstar and a halfway decent actor. Like, he was funny in, like, True Lies. He was funny in Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
I know, but the people that got hold of him, you know, in 1974 and just went, look, you're never going to be a huge action star. You can barely speak the language. No one's going to buy this, you know?
Turns out.
It's got to be Clint Eastwood or someone of that ilk. Nope.
Sure doesn't.
Charles Bronson. Yeah. Like, no. Nope.
Sheer force of will.
Right. All right. So also, so we cut bait on Raw Deal after about 26 minutes, and we went over to another Schwarzenegger, like, straight-to-video movie called Sabotage. And I know, that was just straight-to-video.
I don't even know what that is.
I was like, we're going to go a deep cut with Schwarzenegger. We stayed with that one for about 13 minutes.
What year is that?
2009 or something.
I could not have told you.
I don't know.
2014.
Then I said, all right, we can't hang with this. We got to go to Escape Plan 2.
Okay.
We went to Escape Plan 2. We couldn't hang. So we were 0-3 in bad Schwarzenegger.
Was Escape Plan 1 the one where he is alone in the prison?
Yes.
Okay, this is the sequel.
There's a sequel?
They end up in the same prison?
I was 0-3 with Schwarzenegger, night number 2. But night number 1, when we watched 2012, a very watchable movie. Say what you want about it. Fun to watch. And as previously discussed on this show, but the message, and I have always said, you know, study the commercials, study the media, study the movies. The first was a Little Miss Sunshine. That was the first wheels are coming off the wagon, probably around that same time, 2009. When was the
before
that?
Much earlier.
Much earlier.
I mean, 2004?
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, 2012 is 2009.
Little
Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine. Before. Anyway, indicator that we're coming undone at the seams. You guys have heard me rail about that. We don't need to get back into that. But 2012 is when we're now done as a society because the theme of it, well, first things first, it was, you know, global climate, whatever. They film it in 2009 and it's all over by 2012. But that's sort of the beginning, like the harbinger of like where we're at as a society. But the central theme to that movie is the world is coming undone. The world shall flood. The
world shall melt very rapidly. Everything happens like over the course of a couple of days.
Oh, right. Shit.
But good news, secretly, they had built 3 giant arcs.
Yeah, they were ready for this.
They were ready for this. They built 3 giant arcs.
Sure.
And
thanks, Obama.
They put them like in the Himalayas or something.
That's right.
And everybody who paid for the ark, at some point, like a beeper went off and it was like, get to the ark. Mm-hmm. Like it's on. And of course, Kuzak didn't pay for the ark, but he knew, he found out what was going on.
It was a high level something something.
And took, he was.
Right?
No, he was a fiction writer who drove a limousine, but
what?
But he got in touch with Woody Harrelson, who sort of had a feeling about this whole thing, and he hearkened back to the crazy man, and he realized what he was saying was coming to fruition.
Fiction writer.
So he had to jump in an airplane that he didn't know how to fly and take it to the Himalayas. Yeah. Anyway, twin prop beach craft or something to the Himalayas. But all right, anyway, the whole point is this. It's the jump the shark as a nation. So now there's 3 arcs. The 3 arcs are there sort of presumably to bring the scientists and the politicians and
the leaders, the thinkers, the experts.
And we're basically going to save humanity because humanity has, 6 billion people, and the arcs can hold all 3 of them collectively, 80,000 people or something. So, and also, who paid for the arcs? Like, how did these arcs, these massive, giant, self-sustaining arcs that hold twice the length of any cruise ship, who funded the ark building? Well, the oligarchs and the billionaires and the whoever. So, presumably, Elon Musk would have been on the ark.
Sure.
Because he would have contributed a shit and Bezos would have. And also, we're probably better off with Elon in the future than a Corolla family member.
I agree 100%.
Or some of the folks you see milling around here collecting cans and bottles. So
that's Ryan.
That might be what you'd be looking for. But the big speech at the end, and this is Oliver Platt.
Oh, okay.
Versus.
I never heard this at all.
Oh, God. What's his name?
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, yeah. He's in stuff.
Yeah.
He won for 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. This is before. before nominated.
Oh, but you
before,
don't say.
Before that, he was in a bigger, better movie called
Definitely Bigger.
2012.
Ooh, 12 in both titles.
That, ooh.
Ooh. 2012 Years Later.
Mm, I wonder if you pitched him something with the 12. Like, we're going to remake 12 Angry Men.
If he 12 just, Men Out.
Yeah, he just start going, oh, like, oh, I want to hear it. More. So the big speech about who deserves to get on the ark. The world's falling apart. They're trying to, of course, it's kind of Afghanistan-esque. Like, they're trying to stop people from coming in. There's only so much room on the ark. And here's the speech with him and Platt.
We have to stop this madness. Make sure the other bridges can see me. What do you think you're doing?
I know exactly what I'm doing. Turn it on.
It's communicating with all the
arts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Adrian Helmsley, the chief science advisor to the late President Wilson.
Please turn up the volume, Mr. Hoffman.
I know we've all been forced to make difficult decisions to save our human civilization. But to be human means to care for each other, and civilization means to work together to create a better life. If that's true, then there's nothing human and nothing civilized about what we're doing here.
Dr. Helmsley's passion is admirable, but I will remind you that we have very limited resources and extremely limited time.
Ask yourself, the bad
guy. Can we really stand by and watch these people die?
Yes.
I read a quote 2 days ago. The author is probably dead by now, but he said the moment we stop fighting for each other, that's the moment that we lose our humanity.
And in order to save the human race, we have an obligation to stick to this plan, which every nation on this flotilla has signed off for. They're in God's hands now. Officer, you turn that off.
Stand off.
That is an order, sailor. Turn it off.
Don't you dare touch that button, young man.
Have you completely lost your mind?
What is Bowtie guy have to say?
Look at the clock.
We have barely 15 minutes left.
Do you want to be responsible for the extinction of the human race? Can you handle that, Adrian?
There's a young astrophysicist from India who's the reason we're all here.
Oh, for God's sake.
He's the one who discovered it all.
All right. The point is just like in Little Miss Sunshine, Greg Kinnear was the dumb one.
Right.
He's the smart one. Platt's the bad one.
Right.
But he's going, we have 15 minutes and enough food for X amount of people. What do you want to do? And he's like, humanity needs to be seen in full, and it's full bloom, you know? And it's
that'll
like,
be Thunderdome.
What do you want to do? Just fucking take everyone and pack them onto the ark and then start a huge cage fight and have all the food gone in 3 days. Like, he is the hero of this movie is explaining that everyone needs to be on the ark, and why should the guy who paid for the ark get a seat on the ark versus the guy who didn't pay for the seat on the ark? Because he didn't pay for a fucking seat on the ark. That's how it goes. How would you like to choose? But we're here now. This AOC is rooting for the guy saying open the floodgates and let everyone onto the ark. This is the ark is sort of a metaphor in a way for like the United States. Like, what about all these people from around the world that don't have a lot? It's like, can't open the gates, can't let them all in, can't take care of everyone, not going to work, has to be done in some fashion, there's got to be some merit to it, we got to figure it out. But this is the beginning of the end in 09. This is when the, now of course the hero has no fucking plan. His plan is open the gates and let everyone onto the ark.
His plan is rousing speech.
The heavy guy has a plan. He's like, we have 15 minutes and enough food for the...
Right.
And we planned it. Mm-hmm. This is what we got. This is all we got. Now, it's weird because if you had several other arcs that were unfilled and you went, I want an extra arc, so nobody goes into the empty arc, then that's a pretty good argument for letting the unwashed masses onto the empty ark. But considering you have a limited amount of arcs.
All full up.
And they're all full up from the people who built the arcs, then what shall we do? And by the way, if you want to take it a step further, those people are a little harder working, a little better educated, and probably would make better ark passengers and be able to contribute more in the future.
You're absolutely right. And should this ever come to fruition, because I feel like this was supposed to be some sort of a dock, right? I'm good with being swept up in the wave.
Yeah,
I don't want to go into the limestone caves. I don't want to go onto the ark. I don't want to go onto the Snowpiercer train. I'll take my demise as God intended.
The lucky ones died first.
That's right.
Yeah, the first to die were the lucky. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do the move like they did in Deep Impact or whatever, where I get my dad and we go down to the beach.
Yes, yes. Taya Leone.
That's right.
And I just stand there and just hold hands.
Yeah.
And then watch the tidal wave come at me. I don't want to be running the whole time.
I'm from Kansas. I don't want to go to those limestone caves.
Right. You are 100% correct. All right. We have, speaking of movies, we have a Baldywood on deck. I've seen the movie Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad.
Did you see it as well, Gina?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're
be able
excited.
To kibitz about it. First, let me tell you about Craig Pocket Hole Jig. Yeah. Now, anyone can easily create the perfect strong pocket hole joints with the Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro, the most versatile pocket hole jig yet. I have a vast amount of experience with jigs and putting together pieces of wood, and I can tell you this Craig product is top shelf. Comes with everything you need, the drill bit and the drivers and the material gauge and also the face clamps. You get everything evened up and put it together. If you're doing projects, and I keep telling you to do those projects, you need this product. It is also comes with 100 Craig pocket hole screws and a project plan. Retails for just $99.99. Available nationwide at Home Depot, Lowe's, and other home improvement, woodworking centers, and hardware stores as well. Build pocket hole projects anytime, anywhere, and learn at more at Craig. That's KREGtool.com. All right, take a quick break. Come back. We'll do Baldywood right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, man, when you had to take that monster shit the other day, you should have just gone in the ladies' room. I mean, after all, even your driver's license is, just got that nonspecific X on it, so nobody could have gave you any kind of shit, especially in California. Later.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
That's a good point.
Yes, very
Someone's
good.
Someone's paying attention.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Start whipping that thing out. All
That's
right.
That's the problem, huh?
So, Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad.
Do it.
Let's do it.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood!
The Suicide Squad is in theaters now. It is written and directed by James Gunn, who we know from Guardians of the Galaxy, of course. Also this very show. Starring, here we go, long cast, Idris Elba, Margot Robbie, John Cena, David Dastmalchian, who Gina knows, and who I forgot to write down some of his other credits, but he's a very recognizable character actor. Some actors play quirky. Mm-hmm. He just plays weird.
Yes.
He plays weird characters.
I texted him this morning, so hopefully he'll come on soon.
God bless. I'm a big fan. I really enjoy him quite a bit. Who do we have here? Oh, Viola Davis, Daniela Melchior, Joel Kinnaman, and a voiceover role by Sylvester Stallone.
Whoa.
Yes, indeed. This is 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is in theaters now. It's also playing at HBO Max until the end of the month, which I'm guessing is how you probably saw it.
No, I saw it in the theater.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how about that? Nice.
Well,
I recommend the theater. It's a big movie.
Yeah, the 1 year, the 15-month sabbatical from going to movie theaters, I'm trying to kind of make it
Good
up.
For you.
Awesome.
It used to be... Used to go to the theater twice a year, three times a year. I'm trying for more like once a month now.
Nice.
Love it. Yeah, I saw it in the theater too. It was an awesome experience. It's a big movie. I don't mean like budget wise or box office. I mean the movie fills the screen. It is a big summer movie. I keep hitting the Suicide Squad, not to be confused with the previous Suicide Squad that came out in 2016. That was directed by David Ayer and it was starred Will Smith, Cara Delevingne, and Jared Leto as an unfortunate turn as the Joker.
So totally different movie.
Well, no, I mean totally different in that there's no plot similarities, and I mean other than the overarching, you know, gestalt of you know, it's a bunch of villains, right? Comic book villains assembled. They're in captivity. They're in prison. They're whatever. Viola Davis plays this government operative, and she's putting together this task force of criminals. If they complete the task, they get 10 years off their sentence. They're in prison for, you know, shooting Superman or you know, whatever super villains do, etc., etc. That previous movie, 26% in Rotten Tomatoes. Don't check it out. I don't recommend it. PSA, Adam, this, did you take Sonny?
Mm-hmm.
I figure Sonny's about the right age for this, but this is a hard R. There is violence and language throughout. This is not for kids, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
I imagine Sonny probably got a kick out of it.
Yeah, and also, I mean, they've seen everything, they've heard everything now. There is no more, you know, when we were kids, there was this veneer of this possibility of shielding people from stuff. Mm-hmm. There is no more shielding anyone from anything anymore. No. Kids just have it all on their phone.
All right, Kaylin. So I got a clip here. So I can't tell too much about the movie because one of the things, Adam, I liked the best about it, I'll just say the opening. The opening was a real gauntlet throw where you're like, oh, now I know where this movie is going. Now what this movie is. Now I know what this movie will and won't do. But let's just play. So they assemble the team. They get him inside a military transport. Here is Pete Davidson as one of the villains being transported to his mission. They're sitting next to some kind of humanoid creature. He's trying to figure out what it is.
Yo, is this a dog?
What?
Is this thing a dog?
A dog?
Yes.
What kind of dog do you think it is, mate?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with all the breeds.
I'm going to go with Afghan hound.
Just when does an Afghan hound have bloody thumbs?
Oh my God, is it a werewolf? I wanted to meet a werewolf forever.
Yo, they sent me into a werewolf? Right. Yo, let me out. I'm not...
He's not a werewolf, okay? He's a weasel. He's harmless. I mean, he's not harmless. He's killed 27 children. But, you know, we got him to, I think, he's agreed to do this. Whatever the case, just everyone get in a position to drop.
That was motion captured by Sean Gunn, his brother, who's very, very thin. I think, I don't know if
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
Have we met
right.
him before?
I feel like we have, or we've talked about him. He's been in other James Gunn movies.
Yes. What did you think about the movie? I quite enjoyed it. It was funny. It was when I say for adults, I mean, it wasn't like dumbed down for kids. You know what I mean? It was a kind of keep up kind of movie.
I found it to be insanely creative.
Mm-hmm.
It is the stuff you'd never think of. Just really took the kind of creativity, you know, polka dots man and the shark talking
King Shark,
Shark with Schwarzenegger. I mean, sorry, Stallone. And it was like insanely creative. It had a lot of, you know, basic plot points that basic movies have had for time and millennium or memoriam. And it is certain, you know, at some points it got like almost like I felt like I'd eaten an edible. Like it started to sway into the sort of surreal, bizarre and the surreal. Overall, tons going on, very creative. Nothing it took whatever Guardians of the Galaxy was and kind of pushed it, kind of went next level with the sort of weirdness factor.
I was just going to ask, in terms of Guardian the Galaxy and the Galaxy or whatever it's called, Deadpool, would you put it in that echelon? People love them.
So Guardians of the Galaxy is a Marvel property, as is Deadpool, but those are typically Deadpool, even kind of more family friendly, more you know, accessible. This is a DC property, and they're going hard, like a little more
Joker,
anti, a little more punk. You know what I mean? It's fun and it's funny, but they're taking a different tone for sure.
Yeah,
you've seen Iron Man. This is nothing like it.
Yeah, it was a fun romp that at some points got so sort of surreal that I felt like there was some. I hate to sound like one of these people, but like it lost a little story momentum because it just got surreal. But then they would reel it back in and kind of get back to the story.
Yeah,
but
I'm intrigued.
The only criticism I had, and it's a minor one at best, is lack of like a really strong villain. Like you want a super villain in this, right? And there was this person, this person, and this person, and this thing. But it was like, okay, I would have liked a little more of a, you know, Bondish villain, for lack of a better term, but here we are.
I saw it in the theater. I have no idea really exactly what the bad guy was, exactly what the plot was for sure, like what could have happened, but it was like, I don't know, you know, tailgate or drop an edible in the parking lot and just go in and just kind of just enjoy and suspend everything.
It's a fun movie. So you're familiar with the controversy with James Gunn. He, you know, some old tweets came up just a few years ago. Marvel basically fired him, said, "You're not directing Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Mm-hmm. I think within a month, DC hired him to direct this movie. Like, listen, this guy knows what he's doing. We're gonna resurrect this franchise. And then I think Marvel hired him back the next day after it was announced. Like, it was some absurd chain of events that really worked out well for James Gunn.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's an example. Couple things. I think Sonny sent me a text the other night. Kind of late.
This is like a Zach Morris situation?
After midnight, yeah.
Dear Dad, I know you're always on your phone.
Sent me this thing, and he's telling me about a teacher he had in the second or third grade, and they wanted her to teach critical race theory to, like, eight-year-olds, and she just quit. And I just wrote back, you know, good for her. Like, yeah. She didn't want to do it. She didn't feel it was, you know, it crossed some sort of line in her emotional, you know, boundaries or something, whatever it is, she quit. But I just said, good for her. And look, you're allowed to have convictions too, but you better fucking get good at something. Because if you express your opinions and you're fair to Midland, you're never going to work again. James Gunn, whatever anyone says, I mean, you know, look at LeBron in China. You know what I mean? Like at a certain point, everyone can look the other way. If the money's rolling in, and if James Gunn is going to go out there and bring a franchise back and bring what he brings to the table and be the sort of creative tsunami that he is, then he'll get past a couple of those tweets of yore. Mm-hmm. If you want to host The Bachelor and anybody,
any number of dozens of people,
Mario Lopez can do it just as well as Billy Bush. Or I'm trying to think of someone who wasn't canceled. I can't pull him
Matt
out.
Lauer. Oh shit.
Matt, all right. If there's some other equally attractive guy who's in his 30s who can handle a microphone, then you shall be replaced. Yeah. So we can't really cancel those who bring a ton to the party.
Yeah.
And, yeah, again, we don't need Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer's gone. Nobody needs him. I don't know what happened with the ratings.
How many
Nobody
versions
cares.
Of Matt Lauer exist?
No, I don't think anybody noticed.
There aren't any more James Gunns. Sorry to interrupt.
No, yeah, right. James Gunn brings his skills, and they're very honed, and they're very specific, and the studio, if you're going to make $300 million, they shall look the other way at a couple of tweets from 14 years
ago. Fair enough. It's on HBO Max for another week. Otherwise, check it out in theaters. Fun movie.
For Bollywood.
All right, we've got a couple of calls up here. We'll talk to Jack, 43, from Miami as we move down the line. Jack?
Corolla, you magnificent bastard. I read your book.
Patton.
Did you do this already on this show?
Yeah, I do it every time I call.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Hey, Gina. Hey, Ball.
Hi. What you got?
So the impetus behind this question was from your conversation with Tucker Carlson the other day, and you guys were talking about people coming up to you and not necessarily asking for a selfie or an autograph, but doing the glad handshake with the statement, please keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you not the gay not lesbian anti-defamation handshake, but the two-handed handshake. Yeah. Right. I was telling listeners of the show, but not Gina and Brian specifically, which is the difference between going to the track, and we took a year off, because of COVID. But I used to wander all over the track, and then people inevitably come up. Hey, Ace Man, love the Man Show. Hey, where are the Juggies? Where's Dr. Drew? Hey, I used to listen to you on Loveline. Equal number of people coming up to me. They don't say anything. They just shake your hand and go, thank you for what you're doing. Mm. You have to keep talking. This is insane. These times we're living in. Like, keep talking and thank you. And then I go, who cares? I'm a comedian. I'm talking, whatever. That's my job. And they go, no, seriously, keep talking. So there's been this weird shift in our society. There's a whole bunch of Muranos. Those were the folks, and maybe
it's
in Spain,
Italian for moron,
who were Jews but had to pretend like they weren't Jews. There's a lot of people secretly agreeing with a lot of this, but they don't want to come out and say it because they're like fearing for their jobs, you know. But it's interesting that we've come to a place in society where strangers are walking up to the comedians and not saying anything about comedy, but saying like, thank you for speaking your mind.
Right.
It's got to feel nice.
Yeah, it feels nice, but it also feels ominous.
It's a little Twilight Zone-y.
Right. But anyway, Jack.
Yeah, so it got me thinking, are you ever worried about losing an advertiser due to specifically something that you might say that may not be popular among those on Madison Avenue or wherever holding the purse strings to the advertising dollars? Or have you ever, you play things pretty close to the vest in that regard. Have you ever...
All right. So I started my career with some sort of ethos early on, which is you cannot picture people listening to you because that will stifle or at least alter the conversation.
Sure.
Why wouldn't it? I mean, we all know a conversation that you're having amongst friends in a diner booth that's empty versus the elderly couple who pulls into you and you can feel the guy's back against your back. The fucking conversation changes.
Yes.
It's altered. Now, look, some could say it's altered for the best. You know, like maybe you're not talking about the kind of debauchery you were talking about. Maybe that's a good thing. But what I'm saying is it's altered. Mm-hmm. And so if you'd like to kind of talk about, for me, like for instance, beginning of, you cannot talk about a group if you're picturing members of that group listening. Mm-hmm. And you certainly can't talk about your family if you're picturing family members.
Right.
I mean, husbands or wives or fathers or sons or daughters. Or
friends.
Friends. Yeah. If you pictured those people in their car listening to you, how much different would the version of what you want to say be?
Yeah.
So for me, I've always just went, as far as these microphones go, I feel like they're just kind of, the cord's just kind of dangling and it's not even plugged into anything. Now, obviously there's limits and I don't talk about everything and there's personal things. And then there's stuff, sometimes people go, hey, I want to talk to you about something, but not for air, not for air. And I always respect that. I've had conversations with Howard Stern that were like, it's not for air. And it's like, it's understood. He's
like
gay.
Oh, I know it.
But I mean, people, look, obviously I'm going to have conversations with people and those people, some of them are people, but society knows, and they're going to go, this is not for the show. And I will always respect that. But in general, I feel like it's what got me here, if you think about it. It's why whatever career I've had, it's why I've had it, because I just feel like. And then also, I feel like a lot of shit I talked about in the past when they would say, oh, you're nuts, or don't talk about that, or that's, you're wrong. Given some time, it comes around. I end up being correct about some of this stuff.
Well, and to your point, when it comes to Mountain Dew, does it really matter what you say? Has it ever really made a difference?
I have no. I'd have to look at the charts, but
the good people of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, well, also there's a low. All right, there's a good dusting of low self-esteem, which is who cares what I say.
Right.
I mean, I'm just talking. Mm. I'm just one person. I don't have any magical dominion over anybody. I just have my ideas. And by the way, I'm pretty neutral. Things pop into my head. I don't go like searching for things. It's just I observe, I examine, and then things pop into my head, and then I share them. Jack, you satisfied?
Yeah, that's why you're the best, baby. Yeah, absolutely. That's why you're the best. Keep doing it. You don't understand how important this is.
Jack's good hype, man.
Well, I got no choice. All right, let's see. Is it Dijon?
Dion. Prime time.
I didn't know if that was a lowercase J or an I. Yeah. Dion, 38, Long Island.
Yeah, it's actually future writer for the Adam Carolla Show, Dion.
It's a long name.
All right.
I've got some ideas. They can improve the show. Are you ready to hear them?
Mm-hmm.
You think the show needs improving? You're out.
We are. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. And Chris, is Luxemana there?
Mm-hmm.
He's always here.
Yeah, he might want to grab a pen and paper because these are coming in hot.
Oh, boy.
Right. Bold.
Number one, with a bullet, win a date with Mike Dawson.
Oh, I love it.
I want to enter.
Right? Mm. Get some submissions, do some pre-interview, get some Zoom calls, and go out on a date, tape it.
I don't want to nip this one in the bud, but I might. Is there a Marlboro woman?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because yeah. I think we could cut right to the chase.
Let's just get to it.
Tell her, Camel Jane. Just tell them to hitch that horse up to our post.
Amen.
All right. So win a date with Dawson.
I'll take Paula Mall.
Nice. Yeah,
would Mike be interested in that?
I don't know.
Anything for the show.
No.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You said you'd do it.
Yeah, I said I'd do it. I'd do it. Whatever. I'll do anything for the show. But am I interested in it? No.
Right. But
I'll do it.
How single are you right now?
I'm 100% single.
100%. Okay.
All right.
Well, if you're 100%, I feel like it could be.
I'm also 100% happy with being 100% single.
Interesting. All right. All right.
All right, Dion. Don't be deterred, buddy.
One's off the board.
All right, no.
What else you got?
I've got loads of ideas. This is number two coming in. And Chris, you still with us? You're paying attention?
We're good, Dion.
He's stamping furiously.
Number two would be, Adam, have you heard of Twitch, the streaming service Twitch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These kids these days, they're streaming video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're not a big gamer, but they have these racing games that are like simulators. You get yourself an Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
Get the new racing game that's coming out next year. Get yourself a setup. Stream it. Sponsors. We can learn about cars. We can learn about the tracks. You could practice. You know, you'll be sharp. I'd watch it.
That's not a bad idea.
You know, thousands of others would, too.
I don't mind this.
That makes a different show better, not our show better, but okay.
No, it's pretty fun extra content.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, true.
Good. Keep going.
More ideas?
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Yes.
All right. You know the Rotten Tomatoes game? You guys play it sometimes?
Yeah, we're familiar.
It's a great game. We all love it, but it's like a vegan barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
No steaks.
I'm listening. Crazy got that?
It's good.
So how about before the game starts, we pick a caller.
Mm-hmm.
You say, pick your pony, Adam. I mean, we'll just say someone might pick Gina. Mm-hmm. Adam,
how
Gina,
you?
Ball. You pick the player.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if that player wins, the caller gets a prize or something.
We do that. We do that at live shows, and we do that on this show
as
well.
But you're right. That's not a bad plan.
Because I want to root, you know, for someone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. One more.
Okay. This one's called Adam Gets Yoked. Mike Dawson, you're single. You're out there. But we've never seen you get jacked, Adam. Get Vinny.
Oh.
Get some protein shakes. Start working out.
Adam is yoked.
Man show guy.
Oh, yoked.
Like He-Man.
Yoked. Yeah.
That dude
yoked.
Is yoked and or scrapped.
All right. Well, that feels like literally a calorie burner. But
that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
But then, so what are you doing in Long Island, Dion?
I'm a framer to the stars. I do construction out east. The
all
Hamptons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, out in the Hamptons. What celebrities' homes have you worked on?
Well, I don't want to say, but I'll give one hint. It's a drop. Quiet.
Oh, you worked on Baldwin's place, huh? Right.
Yeah, he did an extension for his all his kids that he's having every year.
Uh-huh.
I never met him, but I was there and heard he's really nice to the workers and stuff.
Yeah.
And there are others, but we're not supposed to say.
Just don't park in his spot.
You know? Yeah.
It's,
right. Quiet.
Are you, Hilaria running the proceedings?
It's Hilaria.
Hilaria?
I again, we do it through, you know, assistants and supervisors. So I didn't really talk to Hilaria, but again, her she's nice too.
Like a house manager, like runs the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you do framing mostly?
Yes.
Not, and that's like, that's your expertise.
That's my expertise, yes.
What do you guys call, a trimmer jack stud over there on the East Coast, right?
Jack stud, king stud, yeah.
Wait
a
minute.
You guys call it all thread. I always hear you say all thread, but we call it not all thread.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We have king stud and trimmer. Do you have king stud and jack stud? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Just scared.
This is amazing.
It's better. The king stud, if you let's say you have a door opening.
Okay.
Corolla's excited.
The king stud's going to go from the floor to the ceiling.
Okay.
That runs full length. Then you put your header in.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the header, you put your jack stud or your trimmer that holds the header in place, but it doesn't run all the way up to the ceiling. It's the door height.
Okay.
So they do the king and the jack.
Why?
We do the king and the trimmer, but I think they're better with king and jack.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
Okay.
That's what I've learned. Different regional things.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let me tell you guys about Geico, and I'll tell you a little about a road trip we had. I forgot to share this one with you. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, I bet you do one or the other. And then there's your automotive policy. How about get your bundle happening with Geico? Take your automotive, your homeowner's insurance, and bundle them up with your automotive policy. And speaking of that, I'll give you a little road trip story. We were coming back from Pebble Beach. We had about, I think the tank said it had about 140 miles on the range.
Okay.
Our plan was let's drive for as much of that as we can before we have to pull over and fill up. Probably about 300 miles away, 280 or something like that. So we make the executive decision, instead of filling up here at Pebble Beach, let's hit the road. We hit the road, but at a certain point, we realize there's 11 miles left. We're just in the middle of nowhere. Just grapevine, nothing around.
It's a risky little game.
But we come to this sign that says you can pull off here and find some gas somewhere. And with about 8 miles left, we...
Seems like a passive-aggressive
sign. San Ardo. Is that what it was called, Maxipana? Yeah.
San Ardo?
San Ardo. I think that's where the Partridge family was from. And we pulled off, and we turned left. And next thing you know, we're going on like a rural highway. Oh, and we get to like a place that time forgot. Like one of those weird... Forget what those little... stores with the gas station.
Oh, wow. That's like a bell. Like it'll, someone will come out with a wedge cap.
Very, very rural. Go in. Yeah. You can't pay at the pump. That doesn't take credit cards. You got to go
What's
in.
What's a credit card?
Right. And we pull up and there's a car that's filling up, except for it's not filling up. It's just a truck that's parked and it's parked the direction we need to go. It's just, it's just parked there.
Yeah.
And we all get out of the car and we're going to go in and get something to drink and stuff like that, take a leak. And at a certain point, we realize there's nobody at the truck. And then at some point, the guy from the truck comes out. And I don't know, what's he do after that, Max? And also, there is a woman, a Hispanic woman, heavy set, with her shoes off, sitting on the ground. Just sitting on the ground. And then there's another guy who keeps like talking to her through the window of his car while she kind of complains to him barefoot sitting on the ground. This is Sunday, 3:30 in the afternoon.
It's a domestic issue.
Something's weird.
Wrong.
And then the guy who we're waiting on to move so we can fill up, he comes out. I think he fills up his truck. Then he's looking at us. Our car's running and we're parked. You know, we're wedged in like, hey, buddy, we need to get gas.
He basically acknowledged us already.
He acknowledges us. Then he gets his kids in the back of the truck. And then he goes on this long-winded conversation with the kids. Now, the whole time, we're just packed. We're parked right behind him with the motor running. waiting to use his pump, but he's just having this conversation. He's 6 feet from the hood of our car, which is running, and we're all sitting there waiting to get gas. He sees us. He's having this conversation. At some point, he closes the door. He gets inside his truck. He doesn't start his truck. He turns back around to finish the conversation. Like, what? There's nobody around. We're just waiting for the goddamn pump. He could start his truck and pull ahead 20 feet and just park it. Yeah. This is Chris, was this an insane like situation?
That was Matt, who's driving, was so confused. We're like, is he leaving? Is he going? I mean, he got in his car. He left the bathroom. There's porta potties outside. He got
porta potty.
We're just waiting for those brake lights to go.
Was
on
August there? He didn't give him a little toot toot.
No, August wasn't there. I was outside. I was just watching the whole thing from the outside. Once he got into the car, we're like, oh, he's gonna drive away. No, he is not.
More conversation.
Not starting the car. Gonna talk to my 7 and 9 year old for a while longer from the cab of the car, from the cab of the truck into the back seat. I will just sit here and finish this conversation now. Just sat there.
Was this an FU City Slickers move?
I don't.
Time moves a little slower in San Arno.
I was always say I'm secretly jealous of these people that did. He did not feel our presence at all.
Wow.
Then he just sat and talked for a little while, and then at a certain point started the truck up, and then just sat there for a while with it idling. Like, I don't know how else you can interpret what we're trying to do here, but it did not move him. I don't know who these kids are now. There's still the woman who's barefoot, who's now walking over to the car, and this guy's got the window rolled down, and they're having this conversation. He's kind of mocking her through the window.
Mommy's going to go on a vacation.
Who was the other car, Maxipat? Did we figure that one out?
No, we didn't. It was just such a confusing scene. It was just a nice slice of life of San Ardo, I guess.
This was not the pumps that have two sides. You couldn't just back into the other side?
Well, we could have turned it around and backed it in. That's true, but the problem is we didn't know this guy's agenda.
You thought he'd be leaving any moment.
He got in the car. It's like, oh, now he's leaving. We're not going to start backing up and maneuvering here, but he never.
The way the driveways were, it was really narrow to even like get to the other side.
He never left. All right. So thank you, and thank Geico.com for summoning that sad story out of us. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Siobhan Fallon Hogan, who's a SNL cast member prior and actress and comedic actress. She's
great.
You Seinfeld Google her, you know her exactly who she is.
Yeah, she got a movie coming out, so we're going to zoom her in right after this.